Joining us as he does every Wednesday morning, Dean Bulldog Ritchie, the Daily Telegraph extraordinaire co-host of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, men. Another eventful weekend in rugby league.
Hang on a sec. Hang on.
The great before Ricky we go and, there, and
hang
Dean's.
On, hang on, Bulldog. Before we go there, this is my one chance, right? Because you've had the microphone now for 3 weeks since the Big Sports Brekkie luncheon. And you've been hammering me about not paying for your cab ride home. So this is the chance to stare you straight in the eyes and set the record straight. What happened at the end of that cab ride when I dropped you at your place?
Well, it was an Uber, not a cab.
Was it?
Oh, straight away, the credibility levels have dropped.
Same.
Okay? So that's a bad start.
It's not good.
Whose account was the Uber on?
Yours.
Right. How much did you give me?
50.
Liar.
And I think it came to 40, so you still owe me 10.
50 was not a red note. Let's put it that way. Anyway, let's
That's how I remember it anyway.
Have we sorted this out yet or what?
No, I think this will go on for a few years, actually. Anyway, Bulldog, Ricky Stewart, Desi
Yeah, Hartley. It was great, wasn't it? In terms of theatre after the game.
It was so good.
Obviously, everyone knows the story, but Des said his bit. He was obviously cranky. Then he thought, well, you know what? I'm mates with Ricky. I'll go and wait outside the Raiders' room. Ricky was in there having a beer. I think Ricky might have known Des was waiting just quietly, but and just made him wait that little
just
bit longer.
Quietly.
Just quietly. Ricky goes out. Des tells him what he says. Ricky gets the you-know-whats, goes in and has a red-hot crack at Des. Look, they're both friends. I was told yesterday that they may have even spoken on Monday morning. Mm. They go back to the 1990 Kangaroo Tour.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's anything overly hostile or something that will, ruin a 35-year friendship. Des was looking after his team. Ricky was looking after his team. Play on.
The highlight for me out of the whole story is Ricky Stewart had a beer before he went into the press conference. How good
he
that?
Loves a beer, Rick.
Oh, I wouldn't have trusted myself having a beer before presses.
It was funny, though, that Des wanted to tell Ricky, like a lot of coaches would say their piece, and then go, that's it.
Yeah.
We're on the team bus and we're out of here. So I guess that shows the respect Des has for Stick, that he wanted to tell him personally. But we all know what Ricky's like. If anything, I guess, gets in the way or takes away from his side's win, he gets uppity. But that's who Ricky is, and that's why we love him. Mm. And people bag Ricky, but he's great for our game. He gives us headlines. He gives us passion, emotion. Yeah. When he's on the sideline, the Fox cameras never leave him. Mm. It was just a great old-fashioned rugby league story.
I asked Ads earlier, Bulldog, if there was any inkling that maybe Desi went to tell Ricky before he fronted the media to fire him up.
I don't think so, Mossy. Look, it's possible. I don't think Des is like that. I think Des has got a lot of respect for Rick. Mm. But look, the Raiders are going well. A lot of people tipped them to come last. I think they're running third, aren't they, Adam, at the moment, on percentages. So he's certainly got them firing up, Ricky.
That forward pack, Doggy, like that forward pack is... I reckon it's a good forward pack. Like you go through Tarpany, Papali's finding himself again. Morgan Smithies has been a great buy from England. He's been fantastic for him. Obviously, Zach Hosking's going to be a big loss. He looks like he might miss the rest of the year. But when you've got Whitehead and Hudson Young, like that's a really solid forward pack. And some young guys coming through as well in Mariotta and Sorlo and these sort of guys. So I'm not completely surprised what Canberra's doing. I didn't tip him to make my eight at the start of the year, but I thought they'd be around that sort of 9th, 10th, 11th sort of mark again. But yeah, Ricky's done a great job with them so far.
Can't believe after 35 years in rugby league, Ricky still got that, what's the word I'm after? Hostility?
Yeah.
Passion?
Yeah.
Aggression? All those pushed into one person. It's still there. Mm. It's still raw. Every game, you just don't know what you're going to get from Rick. And I spoke to Donnie Fernie yesterday, the Raiders CEO, and he said he certainly has mellowed a bit away from the field, but I still think, even though he's not playing, there's a bit of white line fever in Ricky, and that's just who he is. That's why we love him.
Oh, I love it. It's fantastic.
Great.
Like, he is great theatre for the game. Yes, he crosses the line sometimes, and Ricky will be the first to admit that a couple of times in press conferences in the past, he's probably gone a step too far. But, like, as fans, it's fantastic to watch. I love it.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely love it.
It's the most natural drug. It's the most natural drug in the world, isn't it? Adrenaline.
You know, we had a bet, was it last year or the year before? We had a little cheeky bet because I get on quite well with Rick, and I said, look, I'll bet you 100 that you get fined again for a post-match press conference.
Did he get done last year?
It might have been the year before. But not only did he get done, it was the Damon Salmon incident. So he got booted out of the game. So I said, well, you can double my money. I only had the 100 on for a fine.
Oh, jeez.
But he does regret that. Yeah, those comments, though, to be fair. And he was most regretful as soon as they came out of his mouth. And he apologised. And let's not go back over old ground. But, yes, he does get emotional.
You haven't heard from our great mate over in Singapore?
No, I haven't.
Any exclusives we should know about?
No, nothing.
Advancing the game in the international... Well,
he just does this for love of and a passion for rugby league. It's come straight from June, this love.
I know. Just...
No, I haven't heard from him.
I saw a headline that Manly wants Schuster gone by the end of the week.
That wouldn't surprise me, Mossy. Mm. Yeah, I think they just want him out of the joint. I don't know what to make of Josh Schuster. The more calls I make around him, the more I hear, and Adam, you probably hear the same things, that he's struggling mentally. He's got issues that he has to address. I don't know how deep they are in terms of psychologically, but I do feel for the kid. I know a lot of people don't share that because they think he's a football player, he should be mechanical, and he's blowing all his money. And yes, that is true to some degree, but I think there are some welfare issues that we should consider.
Yeah. It's extremely sensitive, Doggy. There's a lot of stuff going on in the background there that he needs to work through. He needs the support of people around him at the moment to try and work through that. I think football, in my opinion, should be the furthest thing from his mind at the moment, given some of the personal issues he's trying to get on top of. So I just hope for his sake that he can get in the right headspace at some stage, get himself a little bit fitter, and resurrect his career down the line. I'm not saying it's going to be at Manly. Obviously, it won't be. But he's too talented not to be given a crack by someone else. Like, someone else has just got to take a punt on him in a strong culture for not a lot of money and say, Josh, come to us. We're going to surround you with some really strong personalities, good coaching staff. You're going to play for minimal money because it's not about money anymore, mate. It's about the love of the game and getting you back to where you need to be. And that's where I hope he ends up.
He's so young.
Yeah. He's like
he could take some time away and still come back at 22, 21. So he's got another 10 years of rugby league if that's the path he wants to take.
Now, Bulldogs bite today in the Daily Telegraph. Pino Wah's leading attack on NZ rugby.
Yeah, I wanted to write a story, Middo, and I think it's legit. And I know already people in New Zealand are jumping up and down about it, saying that the Warriors have now sold out six straight games, including trial games. Their marketing, their merchandise, their sponsorship, their crowds. Every KPI in Auckland is through the roof. They are flying. And at the same time, the five Super Rugby franchises over there are struggling. They're struggling crowd-wise. I don't think the Warriors can take on and beat the All Blacks. The All Blacks are an institution.
Definitely.
But in terms of that next level down, the Warriors are now saying, we have the hottest ticket in town. We've gone above Super Rugby. So in that column, I've written all this, but also suggested that, is it now time to go for the jugular? And do we bring in a Christchurch team?
Interesting question, isn't it? I'm not
they're ready to be taken in terms of rugby league.
Yeah.
But the further south you go, the further it gets more rugby league, rugby union orientated. But is it any more of a risk than going to Perth or PNG?
I was going to ask you, Doggy. I'm not sold on PNG. I'm still not sold yet.
Please.
I understand what they're trying to do, and money from the government is a huge factor. I get that, but I would rather them work on their pathways for the next 5 years and the NRL go back to them in 5 years' time and say, okay, what kids have you got coming up through? Can you sustain a team out of Papua New Guinea first? But it seems like they're well and truly advanced down this path. It's going to happen. I agree with you. I think Perth or a second New Zealand team on the South Island probably make more sense to me than going to Papua New Guinea at the moment.
The one problem they got in New Zealand is at school level, because a lot of the schools are very, very pro-rugby. And if you want to play league, they go, well, you can't play rugby. So there's still a lot of that butting heads from the old school politics at regional level, and that's a shame for the kids. But in terms of success, I think a South Island team would do well. Yeah. I'd like to bring the Bears back. I'd call them the Christchurch Bears, and let's just see how they go. But obviously the broadcasters would have to have a big say in it in terms of whether they think a second team would rate here in Australia.
There's definitely, Super Rugby fatigue, and it's a problem with that whole competition. They're going to review it, etc. But definitely, Kiwis I know say that it's lost its luster completely.
Correct.
The Super Rugby competition, like you say, the All Blacks will always be the All Blacks. Don't worry about that. But the Super Rugby element is the Warriors are the the shiny toy at the moment.
Correct.
Without a doubt. Just because it's different, they're winning. And remember with the Warriors too, we have seen this before, the flash in the pear moments, and then it goes pear-shaped after they made the grand final back in 2011.
Different. It feels different
now. It does feel different. But I still think we need more time to just, let's just enjoy the Warriors for a while rather than go, let's now put a team in Christchurch.
Yeah.
I did find it funny that Cameron George, the CEO, told me of a new movement over there called the Pinot Wars, which is what you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, what is this? Sorry.
The Pinot Wars is the Wars. Up the Wars became a bit of a phenomenon in New Zealand last year. It was everywhere. But now they've got a new movement they're calling the Pinot Wars, which is the red wine drinkers who sit in front of the fireplace at home watching rugby union are now flicking over to watch rugby league. So they're calling them a new movement, the Pinot Wars.
Not having a Steinlager first?
I don't think so.
Right. Straight into
but I guess it's all about converting union people to league. And I even dug up a few quotes from last year. Steve Hansen, the legendary coach. Israel Dagg saying, I can't watch rugby anymore. Damn. I watch the league.
Great Pinot in New Zealand. I can understand. In front of the fire.
You got some vices, haven't you?
Just a couple. Dean Bulldog Richie joining us. We saw yesterday, Bulldog, the Origin Series launched at the MCG ahead of 2024. Well, the series coming up, and well, Zach Lomax naturally is a topic at the moment. When it was confirmed, he's off to Parramatta yesterday. But going so well there on the wing of the Dragons, to what extent has it propelled him into the conversation to be a starting winger for New South Wales in Game 1?
Well, he has to be in the equation. I heard you blokes talking about it earlier in the show. But, I mean, Brian To'o will be first picked, so there's a spot there. And if you base it on form right here, right now, and if you picked a side, you'd have Zach Lomax in the side.
Mm.
But it is ironic, given he left St George Illawarra because he doesn't want to play on the wing. So
he's definitely
he's an unusual bloke, apparently, Zach. I don't know him that well, but you speak to all the people and they say he's just a little bit different to the normal footy player. It's not a bad thing.
Which is fine, aren't we all?
Yeah, I'm just saying. But obviously he thought long and hard about leaving, because I don't agree with leaving because you can't play the position that you want. Yeah, coaches tell players, players don't tell coaches where they play. But look, it was Zach's call. He's on the run now, but I think, certainly he'd be a candidate.
I reckon there's one issue for him looking for Origin selection, that's his defence. Like, that right-hand side defence from the Dragons so far this year has been really, really poor with Lomax, Bird and Hunt. Like, senior guys, you think it would be better. So, I think he's made a couple of blues in defence on the wing, but apart from that, what he offers in attack, like, he's got to be in the conversation, surely.
Goal kicking, high ball, etc., etc. He ticks a lot of boxes, doesn't he? He was always this prodigious talent, wasn't he, Adam? We were told 4 years ago this bloke's origin material. He didn't exactly die away in terms of form.
No.
But he sort of disappeared off the radar when it came to origin, but now he's back and in the frame.
That's why the Dragons offered him such a long contract all those years ago. It was like a 6-year deal, and that's why he's projected to earn, or he was projected to earn, $850 next year and $875 in 2026. It's like it's mega money when you're doing a contract 5 or 6 years ago.
Too much for a winger.
Oh yeah, of course, of course.
What's going on with the Tigers' sponsorship proposition to their ex-chairman Bulldog?
Yeah, it's a funny one. This one, Mossy Lee Hadjipantelis is the chief principal at Bryden's Lawyers, and they are one of the major sponsors of the West Tigers. Lee, of course, was pushed aside last year as chairman. It was quite acrimonious, his departure from both sides. His sponsorship there is quite lucrative. I think it's up around $1 million a year, Adam. Is that right? Somewhere in that vicinity.
Yep.
So I think his sponsorship comes up maybe at the end of this year. So, of course, the key question is, how dirty is he with the club, and will he come back? So I spoke to Lee yesterday and I simply said, look, where are you at? He said, look, I haven't made a decision yet, but the Tigers are going to come to me with a proposal shortly. And once I review all that, I will make my decision as to whether he keeps his money in the club. I've got to be honest, if that was me, I'd find it very hard to shell out $1 million to a club that's gave me the bullet. But let's see what Lee's like and the mark of the man.
Well, did he delve into the emotional side of what happened? Because ultimately a proposal's a proposal, but if he's emotionally checked out of the club, doesn't want anything to do with it, then it doesn't matter what the proposal is.
Well, it depends, I guess, too, whether he he will look at the financial rewards of being a sponsor.
Mm.
You can be as dirty as you like, but if you think that sponsorship is bringing in good, solid business, well, maybe you've got to put your emotions in your back pocket. So he would know whether the sponsorship is working. You know, companies are clamouring over rugby league clubs these days to get their names on jerseys. So clearly something is working. And if it's working for Brydens, Lee might have to say, okay, I'm not happy still. I was filthy at the way I was treated. I didn't want to be booted out. But if it's earning me some coin and Brydens is flying, well, I'll come back.
Who's going to Vegas, baby?
Yeah, I was told yesterday, you know, that they don't want to take the weaker teams. That's the commission's preference, not to take weaker sides. So they want to take the strong teams. So that would mean that Penrith are definitely going. Melbourne are just about definitely going.
Away team, though. They want to be an away team.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So that would leave two more teams to go to Vegas. If Penrith go, then I don't think they'll take Parramatta, because they don't want two teams from Western Sydney. They will take a Queensland side, which I am told will be the Cowboys. So you've got the Cowboys, Panthers, Storm, and you've got one more open. That could be the Raiders or the Warriors.
Warriors, yeah. Warriors makes sense. Again, cash in on the popularity at the moment. I think a lot of people from New Zealand would make the trip, wouldn't they?
There's big Polynesian populations in California and Utah.
There is.
So I think that would be, yeah, a logical conclusion. The Raiders are very keen. I think it's important next year we take teams. I'm not that fussed personally about the ability of a side. I just want them to take fans. We got 41,000 this year. If we go back to 28, it's a step backwards. So we need fan bases to go.
True.
I think too. Sorry, Adam. I'll just say this. I think too they might announce it soon, but I think they want to wait till after Magic Round because they want people to spend their money to go to Magic Round first. And then they'll announce the teams. Otherwise, fans will go, okay, well, I'm not going to Magic Round now. I'll put that money toward Vegas. Yeah. So I think they'll probably wait till round 10.
Yeah, and then I think 11.
11. Yep. And then I think you'll find they'll probably come out and say, these are the teams going.
It's one thing for the NRL to say that they don't want weaker teams to go next year. But at some stage, every team's going to have to go. So you get to year 4 or year 5, and I'm not being disrespectful here, but teams that have been struggling down the bottom of the ladder, you might end up with a Gold Coast, Dragons, Bulldogs, someone else, four teams going to Vegas, like in year 4 or year 5. Does it? I don't know. I'm really curious to see how the NRL works this because, you know, they went with a bang this year, some really big, high-profile heavyweight teams. Next year, Penrith's logical, Melbourne's logical. But what do you do in year 4 or 5?
I'd be surprised if we see all the teams go. I know that, well, so that's
what you're saying.
Said.
They're not all going to go.
They're not all going to go. No way. You reckon the Gold Coast Titans are going to go and play in Vegas? I don't think so.
I think Middo might be right. I'd like to see everyone have a crack. I think every team deserves to go. But by year 3 or 4, might go back and say, okay, the Roosters are going again. Yeah, Broncos
Manly,
are going
Manly
again.
Manly are going again.
Manly are going again.
Broncos will go again.
They want to go again. So do the Roosters.
I don't think Kevy was that enamoured with going this year, to be honest. I think Kevy wanted to prefer to still stay
at
home.
You're right, Adam. I've got that muddled up. The Broncos don't want to go. Yes. The Roosters and Manly
100%.
Want to go back.
Roosters and Manly are desperate to go again. Broncos and Souths have said, once is enough for us.
Okay. It takes a lot.
Of course it does.
It takes a lot out of not only the players, but also the officials who are dedicated to making Vegas work. There's a ton of work that went in behind the scenes. And once you do it once, it's like, it was great. We loved it. But we've done it and we're not going again.
Well, we're only 6 rounds into the competition, but look at the teams who went to Vegas this year. Roosters, not in the top 8. Broncos, not in the top 8. Rabbitohs running stone motherless last. Manly are just in 8th. So, to be fair, those 4 teams that went to Vegas this year have hardly set the world on fire since they've come back to Australia. So, yeah, I reckon it does. It takes a huge toll out of the team.
Well, it's a big distraction. Like, when you're preparing for a season to get into the daily and weekly grind of a competition, that's a huge distraction to have to prepare for something like Vegas, go there, perform, and then come back, recover, and get into the season.
On the text line, boys, I still think the NRL need to look at the North Coast Bears based out of Coffs Harbour. It's a massive catchment area for juniors. So many great players have come out of it. They have the ground at airport to get in and out. What do you lads think, Mark from Old Bar? Get at what you're saying, and I've seen a couple of these suggestions, getting New South Wales country team involved commercially, which is very difficult.
The Bears have been to Coffs. They've had informal chats up there with the local council, and Brian Fletcher came forward, I think, last month, Adam, didn't he, and said, look, why don't they look at the country Bears?
Yeah. Yep.
Play them at all the regional centres. They could be based at North Sydney with a centre of excellence, and they could fan out into the bush, become the bush team. Another suggestion is maybe Central Queensland. There's plenty of money up there with the mining, got some big regional towns. Don't think it'd potentially work, but it's certainly worth considering. So you think about it, PNG, Perth and Christchurch, there is an element of risk to all of those.
Of course there is.
There is an element of risk to all of those.
Another one here. Morning, Middo. Love the show. First time messaging. Could you please ask Bulldog if the NRL introduced another club to the competition where the extra game would be played over the weekend? Would Monday night football be an option? Asks Stuart on the text line. Have to be. Bring it back. Bring it back. The coaches hate it. Don't care. We loved it. And it rated through the roof. I know turnover with Tab was very, very good.
Big. Well, it would mean five nights of rugby league a week. My only concern is, would there be a bit of viewer fatigue?
No.
A few divorces?
Possibly.
They're going to be there anyway.
But look, I love Monday night footy. There's nothing better, was there, than getting home Monday night, waiting for home and away to finish.
And it was 7 o'clock
and
kickoff.
And then watching the footy.
Yeah. They got that formula right. 7 o'clock kickoff. Perfect. I know the crowds weren't great, but I think we all accepted it was a TV game.
Look, the money in TV is a lot bigger than the money they get through the gates. So if there's only a few thousand people there, it's not a good look. But in terms of money, if they get more coin through the broadcast deal, which is worth about $2 billion at the moment and going up, then who cares if there's 3,000 instead of 5,000?
Yeah, it's just hard from a scheduling point of view, like having teams playing
Monday
night.
Oh, you just didn't like reporting on it on Monday night.
I'll admit, I hated going to Monday night games to work. I used to have to go to a few of them, and I used to hate it because you start your day week on a Monday. I'm being very self-indulgent here, but you want to finish work till 10 to 11 o'clock on a Monday night.
I get it.
So that's I'm being, I know.
Did you do was it the game at Cronulla on a Monday night, which was
Sharknado game? Oh, yeah, the Sharknado game.
That's right, against Souths, wasn't it?
I wasn't there for that one.
Damn.
But yeah, like, I understand your point from a TV perspective. It's fantastic. Like it would rate really, really highly. So
where would you take the game? Oh, sorry, you have the extra game, wouldn't you?
Oh, Sunday night. It'd have to be Sunday night.
Yeah.
You'd play 2 o'clock, 2 o'clock kickoff Sunday, 2:04, and then maybe at 6:30 or something like that, or 6:15. That would have to be the way they'd work it, wouldn't it? Surely.
They won't touch Super Saturday.
No. No. And you can't have any more games on Thursday or Friday. We've already got one and then two
what
on
about
Friday.
Tuesday, Wednesday, and let's be done with it.
Just play every night.
Every night.
New South Wales Cup, maybe. Anyway. Bulldog, where to go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. Some incredible ties in the Champions League this morning. Quarterfinals, second leg. And PSG have gone to Barcelona and, well, destroyed Barca, really, in the end. 4-1. And so PSG, 6-4 on aggregate through to the semi-finals. And Borussia Dortmund, well, incredible win from them as well. So they've won 4-2 on the day against Atletico Madrid and won 5-4 on aggregate. So Borussia Dortmund, PSG through to the final four. Just a question now, who goes through with them? Tomorrow morning, we will see Arsenal and Bayern Munich. That game is in Germany. And it was 2-2 in the first leg, wasn't it, Mossy? 2-2? Yes, it was.
Yep.
And Man City against Real Madrid, which was 3-3 in the first leg. So the Champions League delivering as it always does.
Oh, those two games this morning ebbed and flowed, and you had Dortmund 2-0 up, Atletico Madrid back to 2-2. Dortmund went ahead 3-2, 4-2. And then Barcelona with that red card just before half-time swung everything in PSG's favour, and they took full advantage. But can't wait for the outcomes of tomorrow morning's games. I honestly think Arsenal will struggle. I think Bayern might do them tomorrow morning away from home for Arsenal. And I think Manchester City will get through against Real Madrid 3-3 as it stands. But I think at home, Manchester City will get the job done.
And stacks of markets open from Tab. Bayern 2.30, Arsenal 2.80, the draw 3.60. City are $1.62. Very warm favourites against Real Madrid, $4.75. The draw is paying $4.25 in that match. Tomorrow, just some AFL news. Collingwood 24-year-old defender Nathan Murphy, who was concussed in the first quarter of last year's grand final against Brisbane, has retired for medical reasons. Says he still suffers headaches, migraines, etc. And it comes not long after Melbourne's Angus Brayshaw retired for concussion reasons. And of course, as did Paddy McCartan at the Swans last year as well. So we've seen quite a few of those retirements in the AFL due to concussion reasons in recent times. Just in cricket, Wisden have announced their annual awards in the Cricketers' Almanac. I mean, it's very much an English slant. They base it a lot on what they see over in their summer. But Pat Cummins has been named the Wisden Men's Cricketer of the Year, and England all-rounder Nat Skipper-Brunt, the Women's Wisden Cricketer of the Year. And then they name five cricketers of the year, of which are Usman Khawaja, Mitchell Stark, Ash Gardner, Harry Brook, and Mark Wood. And they've given the Wisden Trophy, which goes to who they believe was the Test Performance of the Year, to Travis Head for his 163 off 174 balls in the World Test Championship final at the Oval last year against India. So plenty of Aussie representation there. But it's an English slant.
Can't really complain with a lot of those selections they made. Although I'd probably have to go back and have a look at most of the games, the statistics, to try and get a better look at that. But does it, I don't know, does it still hold the currency? I remember when you used to be named Wisden Cricket of the Year, it was massive, but does it still hold the same currency these days or not?
I don't think so.
Okay.
What, does anyone else? It did.
It used to be a huge deal, right? It really was. It was a huge deal. Yeah. These days, maybe not.
I see Rafael Nadal in tennis has won his first match since January. He's on the return from injury. He's at the Barcelona Open. And this year, well, it's probably it for him. He's almost 38. Naturally, he'd like another crack at Roland Garros. And if he won that, I guess it'd be like when Tiger won at Augusta, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, probably not to that extent, but considering his domination at that tournament, it would be, that's what I'm sure he's angling towards.
Do you reckon we'll see him back in Australia next year? Do you reckon there's any chance at all?
No, I don't think so. His body's just holding on.
I'm surprised it's held on this long, to be honest. The punishment he's put his body through and his playing style is just phenomenal. So it looks like it's all there for the Joker to take a big lead in that race, isn't it?
We haven't got long to go, do we, in the A-League season, Mossy?
No, two games. Okay. Two games remaining.
Okay, is the top six, though, virtually... Oh, no, that's only Melbourne City's the one that's really, I guess, coming, aren't they? They're coming off an 8-0 win the other day. They're breathing down the Wanderers next. And then there's a gap. MacArthur and City FC both on 38 points. So they're five clear of Melbourne City, who are in seventh, just looking inside to the top six from outside, a City on 33.
But, yeah.
And the previous plate race is up for grabs too, isn't it, between the Mariners and the Wellington Phoenix? Those two and then daylight, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Mariners are away in Asia this week. I think it's this week or next week, but that will play a part because they've got a lot of travel and a small squad. So whether that will hurt them, time will tell, but they've qualified for the Champions League for next year by virtue of finishing in the top two, which is confirmed. And it's just a remarkable story for the smallest club in the competition. It really is. What about this on the top of the text line, Middo? We always like to help our listeners, don't we? And earlier on, we had a listener text in, no name attached to it, but asking my advice on aftershave and on the prowl, looking for a partner. And so we mentioned Chanel Blue, and our listener, with no name on it, I have to say, has text back in saying, "Unbelievable, Mossy, that's what I wear now, and both women love it."
Oh, geez.
Happy to be of service to our listeners as always, Middo.
Boys, why would the Titans want to go to Vegas? They're already there, says Donkey. Yeah, fair enough. On the Gold Coast. Mini Vegas, isn't it, I suppose? But, yeah, we were just talking with Dean Bulldog Richie before about what clubs will potentially go next year. And you were saying that it, or was Bulldog saying, likely announced after Magic Round, just so everyone goes to Magic Round, which is fair enough.
Have you guys been to Magic Round?
Yeah,
that's a great weekend.
No, it's fantastic.
And Brisbane is the perfect city for it as well. Because the weather's usually pretty good around May. You can walk from the city centre to the stadium. It's just awesome. Great vibes.
So they take Magic Round to Vegas as well?
Well,
Vegas.
Vegas, yeah.
I can't get enough of Vegas.
I think it's probably easier to get out of Bris Vegas than it is out of Las Vegas, Mossy. But they've done a great job with that concept. And I know they've taken the idea from the English Super League, who had... What did they have? They called it Magic Weekend, didn't they?
Yes.
And now AFL's got, what do they got? Gather Round.
Ridiculous name, but it's worked out.
You said it, not
it's
me.
It's worked out well for them. Oh, seriously.
Football's
I would love to have been in that meeting.
But the
what are we going to call this? We can't do what the NRL does. How about Gather Round? Oh, great idea. I mean,
we've got your night round.
Some of these, oh, yeah. Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
That's okay.
But you're right. Like, think of the brain power around the table trying to come up with the name.
All those, like, marketing media. Oh,
just the one thing, please, with those concepts. I just hope they don't overdo them. Like, one a year is enough, I reckon. Like, AFL, I saw a report come out last week thinking about when Tasmania comes in as the 20th team, about, or 19th team, about doing three of them a year. Three, like, gather rounds a year. It's just...
No.
That is overkill, that.
Definitely. Now, time to talk to Sky Racing's Gold Coast caller, Mitch Manners. Mitch, a very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, well, thanks, boys. Another lovely day in Queensland today. We're gearing up for the Archer Sunday week at Rockhampton, a rich slot race worth $775,000. And just on the back of Adam's point there about, you know, slot races, is, this one has just sort of struggled to build momentum this year. It's been quite popular so far, but so far there's 8 slots that have been selected. The nominations for the race closed today for a capacity field of 12. Favourite for the race, Straight Ace, has gone through remarkably 3 jockey changes. The betting has been suspended while the noms come out after lunchtime today. Tommy Berry was originally booked. He was then suspended last weekend in Sydney. Jason Collett then picked up the ride. He was ruled out yesterday with that rib injury, and he's out for 4 to 6 weeks. So now Tyler Schiller is the man in the hot seat to ride Straight Ace. They're coming off that run of the Provincial Midway Championships. Current favourite. Well, when markets were closed this morning, or suspended this morning, but last check he was $3.50 favourite for that Archer. So... yeah, just like to see a few more sort of decent names pop into that race, or, you know, maybe Racing Queensland might have to look at the scheduling of where that race actually lies in regards to that position on the date and coming towards our Winter Carnival as well.
Now, just as far as jockeys in Brisbane are concerned, what about Vlad Djurić? He's in form, settling in nicely since he's gone there.
Yeah, Mido, we mentioned him on the show about a fortnight ago that he was making Queensland home, as a sort of number of New South Wales and Victorian riders have done so recently. Damien Thornton, Robbie Dolan, and now Vlad Djurić has joined those ranks, and he started off with a bang. His last 10 rides, 4 winners, including that treble on Saturday at Doomben, and he's ready to make a real fist of it, particularly during the Winter Carnival. He's still got some very good connections with trainers from Melbourne who are bringing horses up. So he's certainly hit the ground running, Vlad.
And who do you like at Doomben today, Mitch?
Yeah, heaps of the National Apprentice Series are on today. So there's 2 races designated for the young talent going around. I think there's a bet in race 6, the second heat of the series, Pivotal Lad. CJ Graham takes the ride. And generally, these races are often won by the best ride, not necessarily the best horse, but the best ride can win these races. And I see TJ just lobbing in a beautiful spot from Barrier 1. He was a good winner on debut at Eagle Farm on Australia Day. That form has been so-so, but I think it's good enough. I thought Lubrication, favourite for the race, was certainly short enough, albeit off a wide run first up in a stronger race. I just think Pivotal Lad might be able to turn the tables on it. And at $4.60, I thought it was a bit better value play.
All right, great stuff, Mitch. Thank you.
I'll get on this blower.
Cheers, mate. Thank you. Mitch Manners there, Sky Racing's Gold Coast caller. And just before we go, have a break and go to Steve Hewlett and Dave Stanley ahead of the racing shows this morning. Just a bit more team news ahead of round. Gosh, what round are we up to?
7
already. Now, still no Nathan Cleary for Penrith. And the Tigers, I was mentioning it with Loz the other day, watching the Tigers, who were pretty lacklustre against the Dragons the other day. I was watching them thinking, gosh, they missed Lachie Galvin. So here we are already, it's what, 6 weeks into this kid's girl, 5 games or whatever he's played. Yeah. He's already
three games, a
needed commodity there at the Tigers to give them some spark. But he offers something different, doesn't he?
He's just got something. You can just tell with some guys, they've just got something a little bit special about him, a little bit of a... X factor, I hate using that term, but a little bit of X factor. Mm. He's got it, doesn't he? And he's a tall kid. Like, I saw him in the sheds after the game against Parramatta on Easter Monday. Yeah, and he's a tall, tall boy. And I'd imagine he probably hasn't quite finished growing yet either. So, yeah, he's going to be, he could be a star of the future for them, hopefully.
Well, they get him back. John Bateman, always a good player to have back in the side. Who else? Brent Naden's back in that side. So they do look just better on paper and got some players there that can give them something. And remember, they won this game last year.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Remember, it rained. It just rained and rained. Park. And Luke Brooks had an absolute stormer, didn't he? I think from memory, he kicked the ball so well. And and Jareem Buller, I think, was it his debut game last year? It might have been his debut game or close to it.
Close to it.
And he I think he saved a try with a last-ditch tackle on Nathan Cleary, I think.
Did too.
So good memories, hopefully, for the Tigers fans.
There's plenty of names returning for your Sea Eagles as well. Jason Saab amongst them, one of the quickest players in the game, of course, if not the quickest.
Matt Lodge.
Wasn't that long ago he did his knee?
Like, Mido, I'm telling you, it's an incredible comeback. Like, it's about 7.5, 8 months, I think, since he did his knee, about 8 months. And when you do an ACL, Mossy, you know better than us, you're probably looking at that 9 to 12 month mark, particularly a guy of his age. He's not young anymore. You would have thought he'd be close to that 12 months, but he's gone through his rehab like that, apparently, and he's back ready to play for Manly this week.
That's return to play, and then you've got return to top form. And it takes, so, you know, fans have to be patient because you don't just come back in after an injury like that and restore yourself to your former glory. But, some good ins there. Reuben Garrick's back as well. Nathan Brown. It's 2 points. Seagulls up there at the Titans against Desi.
There you go. You're banking it.
Desi will have something up his sleeve, Mossy. Don't worry about that.
Oh, yeah. Of that, there's no doubt.
Coming up on Radio Tab, Steve Hewlett, good morning.
Good morning, Harry. Good morning, everyone. Looking forward to these horses heading to Queensland out of that big provincial feature last weekend. Straight Acer, who ran second, he's heading to Rockhampton, as Mitch touched on, the Archer. Yep. Of course, Tyler Schiller is going to ride now with Jason Collard out with those ribs. But he's Group 1 placed, and he'll be one of the major fancies at Rocky. And that horse, that, of course, Territory Express, is heading to Hawkesbury for their cup before Hollandale and Doomben Cup. So we're going to welcome those horses. So we'll talk to Ed Cummings. Kyle Wilson-Taylor is heading to Perth to ride in the $5 million, the Quokka. So we've got a Queensland jockey riding a Kiwi in the West. So Kyle Wilson-Taylor will join me. Tony Sears, there's so much to talk to Tony about. He had a speedster, won a trial impressively yesterday, steady, ready. He's got Yellow Brick getting close to a return. The horse he took to New Zealand, Bo Dazzler, the two-year-old. He went over there for the Karaka Million. It's in work, and Sharp Dazzler's talented. So a lot of updates there with Tony. And also Les Ross, the king of the Mishani horses, will join me. And what about his filly running that extraordinary time, Mishani Lily? One of the fastest 1,100-metre races we've seen at Doomben in about the past 20 years, Mishani Lily last weekend. So we'll have a chat to Les Ross on the show as well.
Okay, filly by Kobayashi.
Yeah, he's got a lot of the Kobayashi. Stands at Aquas for just over $8,000.
Gosh, that looks... Yeah. Pretty, that looks good value at the moment.
A lot of the Mishanis are all just bread and butter type bred horses, but gee, they pick up some Q-tips money for the owner, Mike Crooks.
Yeah, and at the moment, that horse has made just over $350,000 in what, 7 races into its career. Okay, love it. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks,
we'll catch you shortly. $320,000 in bonuses. Mishani Lily. Okay, Dave Stanley's about to join us ahead of Racing HQ on Sky Sports Radio this morning. In fact, he'll join us right now.
Gee, it smells fresh in here. even as you just walk in the studio. Just clean. Doesn't he? Penkily, doesn't it? No, just that. You know when there's that person in the office or even on the work site, just that certain bloke that just takes pride in how he smells and looks.
Yeah,
that's Phil Boss.
It is.
Well, I have to say, the older I get, the more it's becoming about the way I smell, the way I look.
I'll even say this: you smell and look better than Pup, and he'd be probably offended in saying that because he takes pride. Loza just wears the same shirt every day; he doesn't care. No disrespect to you either, by the way.
No,
sorry, mate.
No, no offense taken, Dave.
But Mossy, very, very suave, and you had some comments at the lunch. You told me as well.
I did. Yeah, Dave Stanley's put it out there about me. I reckon this is going back about 5 or 6 years now. How long you been here?
Yeah, I reckon we first worked together about 5, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to the boys at the time, you sort of came in for that first shift, or you were coming in talking about football, and there was just this sort of smell floating around, and I was like, what's that? It's Mossy. There you go, boys. It must be a football thing. Is it a football thing? Because we never have grub. Well, everyone else that comes in, all the other athletes.
Think about his nickname.
Well, that's true.
See Berkey on Monday? Was it Monday?
I didn't see Berkey, but usually Berkey has the scarf wrapped around, the tweed jacket.
Berkey would have to be.
He was very rugby. But he's always rugged up.
He would have to be the classiest, Berkey.
Oh, look, he always
No, looks... don't sell yourself short, Mossy, I'm telling you. Start a bit of a competition there, because everyone, you know, they all take pride in how they look, you know,
You should get him to take my personal hygiene seriously. The rest of it, shorts and T-shirt, happy at the moment.
Very good.
You should get a Mossy and Berkey co-host on the same day, and you can sort of do that comparison, just that direct comparison next to each other.
Well, I'd like to see him at the races. So, if you know, we should have a, if we ever have a big race day and we all get to go, because obviously Loz will just wear the same blue suit that he, you know, that New South Wales Rugby League gave him. Pup's got the Armani, the black, but he wears the white joggers. But I reckon Berkey and Mossy, out of all our experts, would be the ones with the kerchief. Everything would be matching. It'd be,
I could have sworn Davey came in here to talk about Racing HQ.
Yeah. So I've coming up on the program for today, Annabelle Neesham's going to join me to kickstart proceedings. So we're going to chat with Annabelle. Also later in the day, we're going to look at all of the racing that's on today. They're back at Canterbury today on a Wednesday, so we're looking forward to that. And then we'll try and find your winner. Kieran Maher yesterday, when he joined me, I threw it in the Bet's Friend section of the Tab app under Racing HQ. Now, I know that all the Big Sports Breakfast listeners can follow their tips on the Big Sports Breakfast Bet's Friends page, but you can also find Racing HQ, and we're just going to continue to add a few here and there. John O'Shea was quite keen on one today. And when I say keen, his quote was today, whatever she does, she will only improve. And we think she's a flight stakes horse. And of course, that's Celtic Sin in race two at Canterbury. Now, the flight stakes is obviously coming up in the spring. It's a first starter. It's $13. He said something similar like this with More Territories a couple of weeks ago before the It's Kenzo run, where it flew down the outside with Tom Markwin at big odds. So I've thrown that in the Bet's Friends. We've got a whole heap of others in there. Have a look, and hopefully we can just find a winner today. But yeah, Annabelle Neesham will be first up straight after Scratching's boys, and we'll then continue on. I think as well, this morning we have locked in possibly, well, I know we're going to be definitely speaking with Mitch Cohen. We'll have the latest in news, but we might even be heading west. We might try and get some Quokka news as well, see how those New South Wales horses go.
A horse that's running today has just piqued my interest. In the Benchmark 78 Yarraman Park Handicap.
I know where you're going with this.
A horse that's won a Group 1.
Shelby.
Shelby 66.
What price is it?
It's been $34,
I think it was. Been out of form. $34 to win, $7 to place. What, Galaxy winner, was it last year? It was last year, wasn't it? Or was it is the year's ticking by very quickly?
Might have been the year before, I think, Mido.
I'll tell you what, I've just texted Westy, who's my producer today. We have Danny Williams on the program. Going to chat with Matt Dale too, Adrian Bott and Joe Pryor.
I'll ask you about Shelby running around
I'll
today.
Ask you about Shelby.
It's been out of form, but it's a Group 1 winner there.
Who's riding it? And what weight's it got?
It is Reece Jones, 61 kilos.
Okay.
Reece Jones rides race 7, number 3 today, $34. What was your tip at Canterbury today?
Balkans.
What race was
it? A bit of money
six,
for it. In the,
race 6, number 12.
6-12 Balkans. Okay.
They've backed Nash Balkans, rides. And they've also backed in that race, there was a bit of money around for Ebony King for Graham Big as well.
Thank you, Mossy, for filling in today. And
absolute
thank you,
pleasure.
Adam, as well.
Thanks, Mido.
Of course. Have you heard from Lots? That you.
Me. sorry to get distracted. I just got a dodgy tip.
Okay. Well, okay. Well,
I've just got a dodgy tip.
Do we give dodgy ones out on this show?
It's my mate Kieran, who just seems to appear with mail very sporadically.
What's his success rate like?
Very good. And okay. I always ask him where he gets this mail from, because he's not a horse. He doesn't sit there obsessed with it, but he gets tips.
Rotorua today.
Rotorua race. He's in construction. Race 10, number 3.
This is great.
Aladdin Sane. Tell the boys get on.
Roger James.
Roger James, Robert Wellwood. Okay.
Robert Wellwood.
Race 10, number 3. Aladdin Sane. There you go.
Favourite, $2.90. Wide gate.
He listens to the program now. It goes obviously into Queensland. And I think he's actually involved with Fitter Sleeper, who are sponsors of the program. The Fitter Sleepers, which are advertising now on Big Sports Breakfast and based out of that sort of Redland area where I grew up. There you go.
So Tippett wrote a rule to finish the show today,
Aladdin
boys.
Sane. And you know what? I love Mossy's gone quiet, glasses on, straight away on the tab app. Straight away. See you, boys.
Race
10, number 3. Have a good day, everyone.